Hello and welcome. My name is Gino Barbaro. I'm one of the co-founders of Jake and Gino. And on today's episode, I've got two rock stars in the build-to-rent community, Jim Shields and Chris Funk. Before becoming business partners, Chris had founded multiple successful companies, including a dry cleaner and a property management business. Jim has been a full-time real estate investor for over 22 years. Woo! And ran his own company focusing on foreclosure acquisitions. In 2015, Chris and Jim partnered up in several build-to-rent projects before coming on as full-time partners in 2022. Today, Suncoast Property Management and their joint venture, Southern Impression Homes, provide a vertically integrated solution focused on the growing build-to-rent segment of the real estate market. Welcome to the show, boys. How are we doing?
Good. Thanks for having us. Good to see you.
Let me take you both down memory lane. It was August of 2017. Mr. Jim Shields invites me to his house. There's a couple of jabronis there, and in walks Chris Funk. And Chris Funk is a different kind of guy. I knew he was smart, but I didn't appreciate his intelligence until a few years later. Chris is starting to talk about this built to rent, and I'm like, built to rent, single family homes. I'm a multifamily guy. I want these apartment complexes. I mean, I'm at 500 units with Jake. I didn't really explode yet. I was singularly focused. And when I look back and I think about that encounter early on, I was an idiot. I felt like Will Ferrell from Wedding Crashers. I'm like, I got a guy who's a genius now. He's years ahead of the built to rent. Everyone jumped on the built to rent wagon in the 2020. He's pitching it to me in early 2017, and he probably got into it a couple years before. But the story doesn't end there, because Chris would probably be happy. Jake and I have bought two parcels of land to do build to rent for us. So it's never too late, folks. Awesome encounter. Boys, thanks for being on the show. I really appreciate you guys jumping on. How are you doing today?
Great, man. Great. Good to see you. I remember that day.
And what do you think about that day? I mean, honestly, you're sitting in a room with guys who are in real estate. You're pitching something that was really pretty new. I mean, like, it wasn't around, Chris. What did you think of that encounter? Honestly, you got a multifamily guy, you had a vacation rental guy, I had another guy, I don't know what he was doing, and then you got Jim over there. What was your thoughts about that meeting?
Well, it was a great meeting, because it was a bunch of guys doing different things in the real estate industry, and everybody was doing really well with what they were doing. So, I mean, it speaks a lot to, you know, just how many different facets you can make money in real estate.
Yes,
you know, so you know, but I, you know, but I think it, and it all depends on where you come from and, you know, what knowledge you've gained, right? So we only have that knowledge that we've gained to date to go off of. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, you know, Jim and I's knowledge really came from, you know, we were buying foreclosed homes, renovating them, leasing them, and selling them to, you know, either individual investors, or we were selling them to institutions. And what was happening at that, you know, in that 15, 16 range when we started our build to rent venture, is the prices at the foreclosure auctions were going through the roof. Those properties were getting more and more expensive, but they were still really old properties. So here we were paying 3-4 times as much as we used to pay for a 1950 built home. And we started doing the math and going, man, we can get a new home for the same money and or virtually the same money, but have none of the headaches after the fact. You know, wow. There's nothing drives you, you know, more crazy than fully renovating a 1950 built home and having maintenance issues, you know, 30 days later. I mean, but it happens. It happens almost every time because they're old.
I see Jim smiling. I see the pain exuding from him. I'm going to take you back down memory lane, Jim. You're in 2005, 2006 in Jacksonville.
Right, buying homes. You know, right away, I'm thinking of one of my favorite movies, the Tom Hanks, The Money Pit. Remember that one?
Yes.
How much more work? Oh, two weeks. And that's, you know, the old homes were a great start for us. I would never go back to them. I hung up my rehab shoes shortly after that meeting, really. And, Gino, another side note, I think you felt bad for me that day, because remember, it was like a few weeks later, you and I decided to get an office together. So you were like, I was your charity case. You're like, oh, this guy's got this crazy thing he's doing. But no, I think that, you know, we got really tired of that 3-year curse. And the 3-year curse, because Chris had done a few hundred of the old properties, I had as well. And I can't describe it. So literally, you hit 3 years, and I own older properties. So, you know, I'm not, again, they are a good recipe. However, the 3-year curse exists. You get a 50s home, like Chris said, you can do new roof, heating, cooling, plumbing, update kitchens, bath, electric. In 3 years, at the 3-year mark, I just knew I had to budget more for my maintenance, repairs, and therefore also my turnover. And that, you know, it's one thing when it's for me and Chris in our own portfolio, but when we're working for with investors who, you know, are busy in other careers and they don't have any time for headaches or really a lower threshold, we had to rethink it. And honestly, that was Chris saying, hey, what would you think about building our own investment properties instead of finding old ones to fix up? It was literally that simple of a question. I was like, huh. You know, at first I arms were crossed. I mean, I was a rehabber. I didn't know anything else. But, you know, now it's like, thank God that question was brought up.
Jim, you're talking about what we call the CapEx tsunami. And it's the same thing in multifamily. You're buying an older asset at these elevated prices. You're buying a three cap and it's 80 years old. Well, why are you buying a three cap 80 years old at that price point? You have to dig in a ton of money. You know, Chris, just explain to the listeners, you know, what's the definition of build to rent? I mean, like for us, it just comes natural. But if you're an investor listening on this, you've never heard the build to rent, can you just walk us through what that looks like from an investor standpoint?
Sure. It's, you know, in our case, it's either single family, townhome, duplex, quadruplex homes. So one to four, you know, family residences that are purpose built for rental. And, you know, and when I say purpose built for rental, you know, a lot of people would immediately think, well, that means that they're inferior. No, it actually means that they're superior. You know, so when you build something as a national home builder, for instance, you know, somebody that's selling to the retail public, they're not worried about what the maintenance looks like after they sell that home. They're worried about, you know, get the, you know, cheapest product in there that you can possibly get and, you know, and bare bones it to give it the price point that the customer thinks that they want. Well, what we did is we've taken the approach on the build to rent side where, you know, we want to limit the maintenance cost for these assets long term. You know, we don't want to be dealing with these problems later down the line. So, you know, we build these with upgrades such as hard surface countertops. So granite in the kitchens and the baths, right? That's one thing that we would always have issues with is those laminate countertops when we would turn over these older houses. So, you know, you don't have to worry. Somebody can put, you know, use it as a cutting board. They can put their curling iron on it. No problem. Vinyl plank floors. We don't put carpet in anything anymore.
Oh, don't say that word, Chris. We don't use the C word.
Exactly. So, you know, so with the carpet, you know, at the end of every tenancy, we find with carpet, you're either replacing it or it smells bad. So you're not renting the unit for as much on the term. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we put vinyl plank floors in everything that we do, stainless appliances. We do hardy siding on the exterior if it's a frame home. So it's a cementous board as opposed to a wood plank. We also do stucco over block if it's a market that we're building block. So, you know, these properties are built to last. And not to mention, are they built to last? They're built to current codes. So in addition to the savings you get from not having to turn over, you know, when you do turn over a property, you're also paying lower insurance premiums because the insurance companies look at these new construction homes and say, hey, you know, this is a better built product because it's built to today's code. So to answer, you know, that's a long way to get back to your original question, but what is built to rent? It is a 1-4 unit home that's specifically built with a tenant in mind for rental purposes. And we do that in both communities where we develop the lot, you know, develop the lots. So we put in the roads and the water and the sewer and the infrastructure. And in those cases, you know, we split that up. Some of those we sell to retail home buyers, and some of them we do build to rent on, where they're built specifically for rental. Then we have other build to rent that we do that's on scattered lots all over the place. So, you know, think of Ocala, where there's, you know, scattered lots that were developed a lot of years ago that are still left, and we go buy those lots and put our build to rent product on them. So that's what build to rent is to us.
You guys are employing your disciples of the buy right, manage right, and finance right framework. And it's the build rent model. It's not multifamily, because what I'm hearing, Chris, you have certain buy right criteria. You're building them to a certain specification. You're in certain markets. You probably have certain median incomes. You're building them to certain standards. And the manage right portion, they manage a lot easier. Jim, I want you to jump in, talk about the finance portion, and talk about, you know, who the ideal investor for this asset is, because I see a big group of people trying to break into the market, people wanting to be truly passive. And what I love about you guys, before you answer that, vertically integrated. You guys are managing your own crap. It's not like you're not selling and running. You guys are actually in the business doing it, which is what I love, Jim.
No, it's good. And we've seen that, especially over the last 5 years, how when one hand is speaking to the other, you can make such better decisions. You can keep course correcting on, okay, we don't want to do this model just this way. Let's change this one little thing. As Chris said, well, we want to spend a little bit more on the countertops because we've seen the maintenance on this. So on one hand, speaking to the other, it's very positive. And it's very rare, as Chris said, that there's an accountability long-term to the builder. You know, there really is. And we don't want to inherit problems because and you know this, being your own property manager, problems don't make a property manager more money. They cost you more money. It's mm-hmm. very intensive on the staff. You know, in fact, one of the things we learned, Gina, when we went in to build to rent, you know, Chris and I sat down, made a hard decision, and he fired a few hundred landlords because they were older properties, because they didn't have the same values of keeping things up. And you get caught in that middle and it's a drain on the staff. And we went really focused on that new construction because people don't want headaches. And as you said, who are our clients? Our people are the people that want to be in real estate, but they don't want the headaches. They're usually very successful in their career or their other business. They're in an area that just the numbers don't seem to make sense, or do they have set up with a team? So they love Florida right now. We, you know, we're in 12 different markets. They like what's happening in Florida, the growth, the landlord laws, and they want to step in, but they don't want to take on a second or third job. They have capital to move. They want something from start to finish. Gino, they don't want to figure out how to find land, how to build the property, how to find the right insurance people, who the right lender is, what's the manager that you need to find. We bring that all to the table so they can step in. And then our goal is for them to spend no more than an hour a month on their portfolio. And our average most successful investors buy anywhere between 3 and 10 properties. And they use our recipe where, you know, single family homes is where build to rent started. And that's where we started. But then, as you know, we're like smaller Jake and Gina's. You know, we're not doing the bigger buildings, but we want to get yield as well. So we had said, huh, what if we add duplexes and quads to our recipe? And nobody else is doing it. I give Chris all the credit on that. He said, I think we can build these. And right there, that was going to up, you know, their serviceability for each loan and what they could do. And so we added that, and that's been able to help our people get even more efficient, effective, performing portfolios. And in order to get that performance, you need financing. And right now, you know, you and I have had lots of coffee talk over this. The financing's nuts, especially for the commercial realm. Gosh, you guys have it real tough. Residential's not much better. You walk in right now, Gino, to a mortgage company for a duplex or a quad, they're going to quote you about 8.5%. What we started to do, luckily we have a healthy balance sheet that gives us the chance to do this, we're pre-buying money. We're in the not only the building business, but the buying money business. So we pre-buy mortgages, and we're able to get our clients in by pre-buying the money down from 8.5 to like 5.75. So we're undercutting the average mortgage market by almost 3% right now. And you know, on a loan, when you start with that, that's going from almost a break even or negative cash flow to a very nice positive cash flow and getting them off on the right foot. So that's kind of the combination of our finance and avatar buying.
Jim, before I go to Chris, where can the listeners get a hold of you guys? I don't want to wait to the very end. Where can they go get more information? Website, email address, give it to me.
Just go to southernimpressionhomes.com if you want to learn more about our company and what we do. Also, if they want to learn more about the story and the journey, go to jjplaybook.com. That's a kind of a storyboard we put together with Chris and my wife and I about kind of our journey into real estate over the last 23 years, where we went, how we started in old properties, ended up in build to rent, and the principles that we followed to help not only ourselves, but our investors.
Now, Chris, you have a couple of USPs, unique selling propositions. One of them that I really like is you mentioned, Danny, you were buying land back in 2016 and 17 at just very cheap prices. So your plots per land is really inexpensive. How has that benefited you now? Now that you've seen costs go up, you have that, I guess, that unique ability to say, hey, I'm in at a much lower price point than all my competitors are.
That's exactly right. You know, so one of the things that we do, and you mentioned the vertical integration, is we develop all of our own land. So, you know, where a lot of these national home builders out there, they look for developers like us to buy lots from. Well, when you're buying lots from a developer's not doing it for free, right? So there's inherently a markup in those numbers. And so, you know, so we've cut that middleman out altogether. But even more importantly than that is, we, you know, because we're developers, you know, we're looking for unentitled land, meaning that it doesn't have the zoning, it doesn't have permits. And we're buying that land at a much lower basis. You know, we're going through doing the hard work of getting it zoned, getting the getting the permits done, so getting the engineering done, and then we're turning around and we're developing those lots without another middleman in between, and we're putting those lots on the ground. So all of these all of these steps in between are providing a much lower basis, because the thing that a lot of people don't understand or know is what that pipeline normally looks like. So there's normally a guy that goes out and puts the land under contract, gets it rezoned and engineered, and then he sells what's called blank lots to a developer. That developer then goes and develops the lots and land banks them for a home builder. Each one is marking it up along the way, and then the home builder builds a home and sells it. Mm-hmm. Well, in our instance, we are the acquisition source, we are the entitlement source, we are the developer, and we are the home builder. So, that coupled with the fact that we saw a real opportunity back in 16, 17, 18, 19, even in 20, when everybody stopped buying lots, when everybody was scared about COVID, we thought, man, this is like, blue light special, buy everything. So we just hammered down and bought as many lots as we could. And what that does is all of these steps give us a much lower basis in our lots than other folks out there. And, and it's necessary for our model, because we have to provide a rental yield for our clients. So we have to be in these lots at a really great basis. Mm-hmm. And because we have such a broad and long pipeline, we're able to look at deals today and be very choosy to make sure we keep our land, land basis low. We've got 6,000 lots in our inventory right now. So we don't need to go buy, expensive lots to just have something to build and something to sell. We've got plenty of time to buy that land at really attractive prices, get it rezoned, get it entitled, because that process is 2 years long. So if, I'm already, we're already looking at stuff that for 2027 right now is deals that we're looking at today.
Wow.
If it puts, that puts it in perspective how long our pipeline is.
So Jim, let me ask you, how has the built rent industry changed since you started out? Is it more of an investor appetite? Is it more trendy now, because all of a sudden you have millennials that want to rent, you have people who are working, they're working not on site, but they're working from home, but they can live in Jacksonville and have work in California. How have you seen it shift over the last several years?
In Florida, it's, as you know, it's really been in our favor. People, the low density, first of all, has been a pretty, favorable thing. When people can't afford a single family home and they move into a duplex, they can get into it a little cheaper. And they're able to still telecommute, like you said. So it's opening up more of our second tier markets. Gino, we're not in Tampa. We're not in Orlando. We're not in Miami. People think, oh, isn't that all of Florida? And and I know, and Chris knows. No, we go to where the fundamentals are a little stronger, and that's where we want to focus, where that path of growth is just hitting now, where the affordability index is really good and really healthy. And that's the markets that we focus in. What's been pretty interesting when Chris and I go to some of these bigger events and we still feel, which hopefully we'll always, we kind of feel like freshmen. Like you get a little bit intimidated going in and talking to these big guys with huge pocketbooks or, building capacity. But what we started to find, it's definitely a buzzword with build to rent, but not as many people are doing it as they say. And I'll tell you why, Gino. We saw lots of guys come in with big, big sets of money. And they said, we have plenty of money. And so they just figure, since they have a lot of money, that they're going to be able to find a builder that's going to build a build-to-rent property. And most of the national home builders are like, heck no, we have no interest. We need larger margins. We're not low-margin builders. And when you say the word duplex or quad, I mean, that's almost like saying the word carpet to Chris and I. They have no interest. And so there's a misalignment still where more people are wanting to get into build-to-rent. But to get it from A to Z, we're seeing a lot of gaps. There's people with money, and then there's builders out there, but they don't really grasp what we're doing. They are completely foreign to small units like duplexes or quads. And frankly, they're not willing to do low margins. We were always a little bit of a Walmart approach. Make a little less off each deal and do volume. And it's to find all those pieces is tricky. I think more people will develop it and get into it. And I also think that certain areas have tried to do it, but it's stifled. And you and I have had this talk because they're in non-landlord friendly areas. And I think that is something people really need to watch for, because things have changed even even more over the last few years. If you're a landlord, you got to be able to collect rent. And so it's very dangerous to start building if you're in an area that kind of discourages that.
Hey, Jim, no offense, but Gino's not the only idiot in this planet. I mean, there's a lot of idiots that don't understand it. I mean, they're builders. Like, guys, take off the glasses. And like, if you're in that space, don't you see the opportunity of being able to go into this? So you make a little bit less, but you're owning an asset that's brand new in a great market, that's cash flowing, that has the potential to appreciate in value. You have the tax benefits on top of that. I mean, there's so much to it. I mean, our buyer criteria changed. We used to buy older assets. Now we're trading up our portfolio and we want to buy these newer assets. But something really important, Chris, that I want to ask you, because this could help anyone in multifamily as well. How did you guys come and pick out the markets that you're in? Because once again, Jacksonville 7 years ago, people were laughing at me and they were laughing at you probably when you said Jacksonville. I mean, how did you pick those secondary and tertiary markets to be building in right now?
Well, I'm going to say Jacksonville was just a stroke of luck because we lived here. In some cases, you just get lucky. So we started out being lucky in Jacksonville, but then Ocala, Palm Coast, Southwest Florida, there were several factors that attracted us to those. One, you know, was a very constricted supply. So when we started building new homes in Ocala, again, remember, this was like 15, 16, you know, the home building had started to ramp back up, but there was a period of 5-6 years from 2007 to say 2013, where there was almost no new homes being built. Well, Ocala was even worse, and they certainly weren't building new homes for rental. And, you know, we knew we liked the market. We could see that there was a lack of supply, but it was still an experiment at that point in time. You know, so we liked all the fundamentals, but we still weren't 100% sure until we got the CO on the first house and at least the very next day. And we said, okay, you know, we're on to something. And so, you know, we started out slow, dipped our toes in, made sure that, it was something that really was viable. And, you know, we've continued down that path and we've done that in every market, and we haven't steered ourselves wrong yet. And so don't these tertiary markets, man, they're not to be forgotten about, because most everybody else does forget about them. Mm-hmm. You know, so you think if you're a big Carlyle or JP Morgan and you hear Inverness, Florida, they're like, what, you know, what the heck, or even Ocala for that matter. You know, they're like, no, we know Miami, we know Tampa, we know Orlando. And those are, so that makes them feel comfortable. But to us, we see that as a real advantage for smaller operators like ourselves to be able to be the big fish in the smaller pond.
Yeah, it's funny because the JP Morgans of the world, Chris Funk knows cash on cash and cap rates and ROI. He don't care where it is as long as it's in a path to progress. And that's important. Jim, I got to ask you this question because I love asking you painful questions. I think it's such a positive industry. And just like multifamily has so many positives. But what bumps in the road do you foresee, if there are any, or anything that's negative about build to rent? Like, for instance, multifamily, we have to wait a couple of years sometimes to get paid. And that's the reality. Sometimes if and when the market changes where jobs are lost, our rents may drop a little bit. We have property management issues. Do you see anything in the build to rent that you're like, you know what? I wish it wasn't there.
You know, one of the things is now, especially for our individual investors, because where Chris and I came from, again, we're only talking about our own history. Gosh, well, why would I buy a build to rent? I could buy two or three of these starter 1950s tougher area homes. And man, I've done the numbers thousands of times on both sides. And people look at that initial, I think the cash on cash looks higher to start. And that is where some people have come back to us and said, I wish I had just bought one of your properties instead of two or three of these, less in good condition, worse areas, because that's where I see a lot of new investors get spit out the backside. Where if they, I always say own less of better quality. That's kind of my motto now from where I went. I own 80% less properties than I did, back in the day when you knew me with all the foreclosed renovations, but I have more equity, more cash flow than ever. So what does that tell you? And I think there's still an old education of, that is not including what the numbers really are. It's very hard to tie in all those numbers of maintenance and repairs those first few years, the turnover. And we all know in those first few years, you have to get the wind at your back. You know, all of us are sitting here now having properties for several years. Once that wind starts to kick at your back and the cycle kicks forward in your favor, that feels really good. But if you try to artificially kick that forward with cheaper homes in worse condition in worse areas, a lot of times you don't realize how beaten up you'll get in those first few years. And then most people just give up. And what I always try to encourage people now for build to rent, they're like, oh, a new construction, I think I could get more with these. Really do the numbers. Really talk to someone who's owned both and see what they say. That's when misnomers that, hey, I don't know if worth new construction is worth the higher buyer or if it's, you know, worth a little more of the weight.
Before we go to a commercial break, I want everyone to write these three words down. ROE. It's called return on effort. And Jim has laid that out so beautifully. Because do you want the 1950s home at a 12 cap? But every month you're going to get a different call. Something's leaking. Something's not working. There's a lot of effort. You may make more of a quote unquote return, but would you rather have a home that's brand new? It may take a little bit longer to build, but you've got a higher quality resident. You've got a higher quality product. There's less effort. It's easier to manage. You may make some a little bit less in the short run, but in the long run, with the effort that you have to put in and the money you're going to make in the long run, I don't think there's any question what product I'd be looking for. Let's take a quick time out to hear from our sponsors.
Now, we have had a great run in multifamily, going from 0 units to over $250 million in assets. That's over 2,000 apartment deals that we've been able to purchase through our framework, Buy Right, Manage Right, and Finance Right.
Now, Jake and I, we created the Jake and Gino community back in 2015. We launched our first book, Wield Our Profits. And since then, our students have closed over 60,000 units. That's over $4 billion in assets they've been able to close over the last 6 years.
And that's why this community has been so successful. We call it results-based education, and we pour back into the community everything that we've learned on our journey from 0 to 2,000 units and all our systems and scale that we use on our very own property management and investing companies.
Jake, I love that. It's not just education, it's implementation. So what I want you to do, click on that link down below, apply to work with our team, see how we can help you on your journey. Multifamily.
You like that, Jim? ROE. I saw you pop up when he said, oh, he's like, wait, return on equity. No.
And I wasn't.
I wish I was smart. One of my Jake and Gino students said that to me one day. I'm like, dude, I really like that. I got to use that for myself. So
I feel like that's going to be in Jim's pitch going forward. I like that one too.
You see that, Jim? Yeah. I got a little bit of value for you, brother.
Yeah. I'm Gino.
Do we need to reference Gino when we use that going forward?
I haven't trademarked it yet. When I get off the phone, I'm going Gino's to Mackenzie. Mackenzie, yeah. I'm going to trademark
that
bitch.
I'm buying that website.
I love that.
We'll footnote it in the website.
Yeah. Let me ask you.
Little right.
Chris, this is an important question because I know you take a lot of pride in the property management. And I remember Jim and I, we had an event several years back with our friend Joey Coleman talking about customer journey, customer experience. How have you been able to scale your property management company? Because that really is another USP. That's something where if I'm buying a home for the both of you, you're going to manage it for me. Well, that's awesome. That's what I want. You have control of the entire process. How have you been able to scale that over the last several years?
That's a great question. So I'll tell you what, the way that we look at our property management is we're essentially a co-op for all of our investors, so that combined, we have all of the benefits of these large national operators. Because as an individual owner, that individual owner can't do all the things that we're doing behind the scenes. And we couldn't do it without all these individual owners that we're managing properties for. So, you know, we have really been able to scale because of the fact that all of our investors that we're building homes for, the vast majority of them continue to have their properties managed with us. And that continues to make our property management company stronger and stronger to where we're able to provide better than institutional quality management right now. And I say better than institutional quality management because part of our business right now, Gino, is we also fee build for a lot of institutional investors that, you know, they own land, they've developed the lots, but they don't have a builder to build them. And so we build these communities. And we see what some of these institutional property managers are doing. And they don't hold a candle to our property management team. And I think part of that is they're too spread out. You know, they're not that, you know, they're not as locally focused in their markets. So, you know, they're just getting a project. They're putting one person on the ground to manage this one project, but they don't have a broad depth of client base and leads coming in. You know, so because of the sheer size of our company, we're able to afford all of the virtual showing tools. We're able to afford all of the AI that we're now implementing into, you know, into all of our leasing side of our business. And we're able to afford to pay our staff at a level that you get the better talent, you get the better tier people. And because we're so focused on these individual markets and our name gets so known in every market that we open up in, we continuously drive traffic to our properties and to our website. So for all of these reasons, you know, we've been able to scale as, you know, as a cooperative, really. I mean, we're owned by, you know, by us, but our investors are getting the benefit of this cooperative management structure to where we can truly compete and exceed these institutional property managers out there.
Before I ask Jim the next question, I need to make this point. And what I love about you two is you both have a growth mindset. I'll do fee-based. I'll do single families. I'll do duplexes. And you think outside the box and you'll try anything. And I'm sure things haven't worked, but you pivot and you try something else. Inverness may not work. Let me go to another market. Let me build quadplexes. Let me scatter site and sell some to investors and keep some to ourselves. Let me expand the property management company. I love the way that you guys have been able to grow within the space and been able to pivot. I mean, that's been, I mean, truly remarkable to hear through this conversation. But I've been talking to Jim over the last few years, and to see the growth behind the scenes has been pretty freaking incredible. Jim, how have you been able to? I know you know everybody on this planet, but what books have you been reading? Like, what have you really been absorbing the last few years to continue to grow? Because going from a 1950s product to a build-to-rent new one, that's a completely different mindset. That's a completely different paradigm for you. How have you been able to continue to have that growth mindset?
Yeah, I know Chris and I, through some different events we went to, we've definitely become fans of the EOS system. EOS has been really good for us. You know, my daily huddles, I'm convinced that's why we performed so well through the pandemic and then kept our heads and kept morale high in unknown times. So EOS has been a really big one. Our mutual friend Ian over at Same Side Selling has been phenomenal for us. And I'm very lucky that, you know, Vern Harnish's group, his right-hand man, Daniel Marcos, is a good friend of mine. Has been to our family retreats and things like that. And he has been a guiding light for me. So I'm a big fan of scaling up. Vern's work has been really important for me. So those are just a few of it. And again, the unwritten things are just our mastermind groups. You know, like the day we all were together that first day, and I continue to do those, which have been, you know, some of the most important information that I've sucked up the last 5 years for sure.
And Chris, same question for you. When I talk to Jim, he speaks so highly of you. I mean, he regards you in such high esteem. He's always saying Chris is such a tremendous worker. He's so dedicated, whether it's the RV park or whether it's going out and buying land and building the property management company. How have you been able to sustain that hard work ethic? What have you been diving into as far as reading books, as far as consuming knowledge and information?
Well, first of all, you can't believe a word he says.
Are you calling me a bullshitter?
Oh, man, no. But I mean, I think, you know, I just truly enjoy what we do. You know, I mean, I truly enjoy this business. I feel like this business model has is, you know, it's like you said earlier, you know, you find something that really works and you dig in and that's what we've done here in this. And I love seeing our investors grow their wealth. I love, of course, seeing our employees grow their wealth. You know, as the company grows, you know, it gets better for everybody. It gets better for the investors. It gets better for the employees. It gets better for Jim and I. And, you know, and just seeing that growth and seeing what we're able to do has really opened my mind. You know, if you would have told me, you know, 5-6 years ago that we'd be building 1,000 houses a year right now, I'd have told you lost your mind, you know? but really, you know, it's kind of that flywheel approach, right? You know, we've pushed really hard through the hardest part of our journey, you know, and it wasn't all easy. You're right. You know, when we started off, we were using other fee builders to build for us, and we had to go through those guys defaulting and not finishing projects. And then that's how we became a builder. And you know, all the difficulties that go with starting a business that you've never done before. And, but now, you know, we're to the point where, you know, we're really fine tuning and, you know, and getting those smaller details, you know, dialed in. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's really exciting to be, you know, to be past the really tough stage of just trying to get it done to now being at the stage where, you know, you're fine tuning the details to just make sure it's a well-oiled machine, and to see the growth in the staff and the investors. That's what keeps me going every day. And that's what keeps me motivated to, you know, go find the next deal and, you know, and find the next project.
Chris, no offense, but I thought you did lose your mind 7 years ago. Idiot. You know what I'm saying? So you didn't lose your mind. You stuck to a vision. You stuck to what you believed in, and you were singularly focused and you crushed it. Last question for both of you, because I really want to hear both of your answers. Jim, where do you see yourself, the company, the build to rent model in the next, let's say, 3 to 5 years?
Wow. You know, when something we didn't get into today, but part of our business was acquired beginning of end of last year by a large building group out of Texas that's owned by Sumitomo. Sumitomo is like the conglomerate business of Japan. And I know Chris has learned a ton from them for us, and so have I. You know, they're 331 years old. And they, when they think in those terms of not the next 90 days, they've made us over the last year think in more terms like you're talking about, these longer, like forget about the next 90 days. Let's look at a horizon of 5 years and see where we'll be. Yes. So honestly, Gino, a year ago, I probably couldn't even answer that. It would have been a complete, you know, it'd have been a rectal pull. I mean, I'm just talking out of my rear. I don't know. But now we've had to look at this with some, you know, and Chris and I have lunch, I have dinner every month, just to brainstorm for one night a month. We just kind of talk big, and it's so healthy. And we're from these meetings and from what we've seen, I honestly see us in at least 3 states, probably Texas and Tennessee. So we'll be high-fiving you over there. And going deeper into Florida, definitely those 3 states, because we believe in the fundamentals that we look for, the landlord laws. And I could see us, because we've talked to other builders that have had a team up with our now parent company that have 5x'd their business. So really we were at about $200 million in sales. And I thought Chris was nuts when he first said the B word to me, but I think in 5 years we'll be in at least 3 different states doing $1 billion a year.
That's not the bitch word. That's the billion word. Okay, I got you. I thought it was calling you a little.
Believe me, I didn't even like to used to say the thousand word when I started this journey 24 years ago. So, but I can see how systemizing and teamwork and sticking within your niche, staying to your genius. One thing I'll say, and I tell you, I love Chris. Him and I have similar senses of humor and joke around, but we have very different skill sets. Seriously different skill sets, and we trust each other in that. And I see now when you would put a quarterback in a quarterback position or running back in that, we're really starting, instead of being the, remember those old episodes of Bugs Bunny, first base, second base, third base, we're playing our positions and bringing mm-hmm. in people we enjoy working with and who play the position well. And I see like, oh wow, this is possible. Mm-hmm. And that's where I see us in 5 years, really at least 3 different states building $1 billion worth of build-to-rent properties, which means we're going to be creating more and more millionaires of our clients, which is, as Chris said, pretty rewarding and exciting.
Chris, before you answer, I want to get an invite. The next dinner, I'm only right down the road. As long as Jim's paying, invite me and I'll brainstorm. I'll sit in the corner. But as Jim's paying, I got to be invited, guys. What's going on here?
I love it. Let's do it. I'm in.
And so I hear the B word.
Drive to St. Augustine. Then.
Hey, it's only 40 minutes away. So listen, he's talking B word over there. And you know, 5-6 years ago, I had the meeting with you, build to rent. It didn't really make sense to me, but now that I see it, and now that you guys have this velocity, you have the capital behind you, you have the proven business model, you have the buy right, you have obviously the manage right, and you've understood the finance right. Chris, what is your vision? What would you like to accomplish in the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, I mean, you know, Jim and I have obviously talked about this. I 100% agree with, you know, with everything that he just said. And, you know, and it's to me, it's, you know, where do we want to be? And then how do we get there? And this acquisition by Sumitomo and Breitland was really great for us for multiple reasons. You know, first of which, you know, the credit markets are tight right now. You know, it's like how Jim was talking about our internal financing. You know, we're trying to get that financing for our clients. But the beauty of at this point, the company that acquired us was Brightland, who's 100% owned by Sumitomo Forestry. Well, Sumitomo is a publicly traded company in Japan. So when we need money now, we just send an email and it comes over. Mm-hmm. So how do we get there? You know, that's one step is we have virtually unlimited access to capital, you know, at this point in time. So that kind of checks one box, you know, off for us. And then the other is operationally, how do we do it? And this acquisition has really helped us from an operation standpoint. You know, all of our operating systems were overloaded, right? As we were, you know, as we were growing the business, you know, we started out with BuilderTrend software and QuickBooks Pro as our accounting systems, right? That's great. You know, if you're doing 100 homes a year, 200 homes a year, 300 homes a year, 400, it starts to get sketchy. 1,000, it just starts to fall apart, right? So, you know, it just becomes so much more labor intensive to where that was going to be a hindering factor on our growth. But just in the last 6 months, with all of the support from the, you know, from our new partners, they've set us up on software that, you know, is much, you know, gives much better data, gives much better details, helps us manage our business better. And, you know, it seems like, okay, well, Chris, you could have done that on your own. Yeah, we could have. It just would have been a lot more painful and it would have taken a lot longer. So anybody that's done a conversion, if you're converting to a system that you don't know, it's very painful. But if you're converting to a system you don't know, but you've got 500 people behind you that know it and can help you implement it, man, it becomes a lot easier. So these are the things that, you know, that I see us, you know, continuing to improve upon as we get to that $1 billion mark that we're shooting for and that Jim just threw out there. But it comes down to that, you know, at the end of the day, we have to operate efficiently and provide a super quality product at a low price so that our investors can make money. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, continuing with our growth and our staff, our software, utilizing the technology that's coming out in better ways, you know, these are all the things that I focus on to get us to that next level.
Wow. Jim, before we sign off, if I'm an investor, if I'm possibly a home builder that wants to buy some lots, if I want to maybe rent a home, where's the hub? Where can I go to find out more about the company buying? Like I said, I'm even a vendor. Where do I get more information?
Yeah, I'd go to southernimpressionhomes.com. That's the starting point for that. You can reach out again. You can set a discovery call, no obligation, which is a great starting point where our team is there to answer some of the questions. Look, we might not be the right fit for you, whether you need a fee build or you need something done, a larger scale one, or just want to start with a duplex, but we also might be. We're able to figure that out pretty quick and then put a plan into motion. So we are open to that and happy to help in any way we can.
Excellent. Before I sign off, there's two things that I really want to mention. The first one is I'm going to go and buy returnoneffort.com. So you guys leave that with me. And this one is specifically for Jim Shields. There's two kinds of people in this world, Italians and people who wish they were Italian, Jim. I'm sorry. My wife's Irish, so I can't really use it around the house too much. So I said, I'm going to use it on the podcast. Listen, I love the show. I had an awesome time. And the Build to Rent is not only here to stay, everybody. It's here to stay and to grow. The demographics show it. Find a partner like Jim and Chris to grow your portfolio. If you're looking to get into real estate passively, buy 1-2 deals a year, or if you're looking to buy 3-10 deals a year, doesn't matter. They've got the model. Buy right, manage right, finance right. I want to thank the both of you guys for being on here. It was an awesome show. And we'll see you soon, guys. Thanks.
Gino, great to see you.